I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, comedian, actor, author John Hodgman tells of his childhood spent being all the nerds at once.
My long hair and my black fedora. Terrible combo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My Doctor Who scarf and the leather briefcase that I brought to high school. All of this was the persona that I was constructing of John Hodgman, quote unquote, interesting person.
Anyway, I try to get to the bottom of who he is today.
Look at me through your jeweler's loop, John.
All right.
You will see the abyss staring back at you.
Plus, a Joseph Campbell-style deconstruction of the Smurfs, Britney Spears as a cardiac surgeon, and music from Jean Grey.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. You
say one more time!
Oh, all on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. Coming to you from the Fitzgerald Theater in downtown St. Paul. We got a great show. Our band, John Munson and the Witnesses, here with me on stage. The brilliant hip-hop artist, Jean Grey, is with us. And the somewhat eccentric writer and comedian, John Hodgman, joins us as well. Our acting company this week includes Kevin Murphy of Riff Tracks. John Hodgman is a writer, actor, comedian. You may know him from The Daily Show, Bored to Death, Apple commercials, or you may not. I don't know you. He's the author of 3 books of dubious information. He is my dear, dear friend, John Hodgman. Welcome back to Wits.
Oh. What a pleasure to meet you for the very first time.
Very first time.
Have we met before? I
we
have no memory of it.
Strangers as if on a train.
No.
Through your career, you've been, let's see if I can remember, you were Ask a Literary Agent, Ask a Former Professional Literary Agent. You've been the expert. You've been the eccentric billionaire.
Millionaire. Let me tell you all the things you got wrong.
You've been the Doomsday Prophet.
Yes. And now failed Doomsday Prophet.
Now failed Doomsday Prophet.
Look at me through your jeweler's loop, John.
All right.
You will see the abyss staring back at you. That abyss
do.
Named John Hodgman. Or through the jeweler's loop, Han Jodgman. I don't know how optics work.
That's a little tricky. I've seen your performances. I've seen you do your comedy.
I don't remember seeing you at any of my performances.
Well, I was there. In some sense, I always am there.
Maybe you saw me on Netflix in my one-man show, Ragnarok.
That could have been. But when you perform, it's not like punchline after punchline. It's not.
Yeah, I'm not that funny.
It's not like the tight 5 minutes. But you're not a classic comedian.
No, I would agree with that 100%.
I submit to you, John Hodgman, that you are perhaps a performance artist.
Well, that means a lot to me.
Are we not friends anymore?
Well, you must remember that I am first and foremost, above all of these things, an only child, which means that I grew up initiated into a different kind of doomsday cult, the afraid of conflict, super smart narcissist club that is all only children. And as an only child, I spent a lot of time when I was 11 or 12, trying to skip all of my adolescence and coming of age sexually in order to immediately get to a late 30s bachelorhood.
you were one of those kids who's in a hurry to be a grown-up.
Oh, yes. And yeah. one of the ways I did it was I would be constantly listening to my 35 LP set of Laurie Anderson's United States. While I would write my poems in my den. I had to, as an only child, I had an abundance of rooms in my house. We had a huge house that my mom and dad and I grew up in. It. And when you grow up an only child in a family that has a mom and a dad who are together, like you have a weird relationship. You rely on each other for friendship as much as anything else. You go out to dinner, you go to see movies, you travel. It's like, and at home, you like watch public television together and eat dinner in your laps and then go, oh, I'm going to bed. It's like they're not even your parents, they're your weird older roommates. And we had a big house. And so when I turned 13, a boarder who had been renting this wing of our house left. And I said, you know what, Mom and Dad? I'm taking over that wing. I'm 13 years old now. God knows I've earned it.
Yeah, it's time.
I need my own apartment. And they didn't stop me, probably because they didn't hear me from across the dining room. And I went and I recovered. I had my own bedroom. I had my own bathroom. I had a hallway. And I had a whole second bedroom that I turned into my den.
To write your poems?
Yeah, I'd write my poems and I'd listen to Laurie Anderson. I got my bunk beds from my original room because all only children have bunk beds. You know that, right?
Is that for the sleepover that never happens?
Yes, well, it's to symbolize your material excess to your little friends.
I have more beds than I can sleep in.
Yeah, exactly. And also to symbolize the great emptiness that lurks beneath you at all times. Because you always sleep on the top bunk because you're an only child. Why not?
Right.
And I broke...
My soul's down there.
Yeah, exactly. You sleep on the floor, young friend who came over. This is reserved for my stuffed animals and my soul. But I was a man now, and I took my bunk beds apart, and I arranged them into a sort of an L-shaped sectional lounge situation with some bolster pillows, and then I got a fern. Like, that's the part of the story.
It starts to break
still,
down there, doesn't
still,
it?
That still befuddles me. Where did that fern come from? So, I can still see it. It was like the early 80s, so I guess they were everywhere, falling off trucks.
They were handed out by the government. Yeah. But... So
when you say performance artist...
It was naturally in your meme.
It was something... And the reason I was listening to Laurie Anderson and other performance art, David Cale and other performance art, was that that's what I was. I was performing the art of my dumb life. All of my cultured and awful eccentricities, my pretensions and my weirdnesses, my long hair and my black fedora, terrible combo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait,
my Doctor Who scarf and the leather briefcase that I brought to high school, all of this was the persona that I was constructing of John Hodgman, quote unquote, interesting person.
You describe so many layers of substratum of nerd there. There's fedora nerd and Doctor Who
nerd. But I was making it all up by myself. We didn't have the internet then. All I had was Monty Python on Channel 2 and a few comic books from the comic book store, and the rest I just put together like Little Edie and Grey Gardens.
John Hodgman, everybody. Our musical guest this week is a hip-hop artist who's released several albums and collaborated with Mos Def and The Roots, among many others. She's also a video artist, a writer. She does a lot of things. Her latest EP is called Jeannie. Here's Jean Grey.
Run without winning any bases, though. All basic reasoning out the window. Ron Rath, Eric Sermon style, like I got kicked off a cloud. Method Man 95. Rap references because you get them all. You even get that I should have said it was 94. Hard place when you wanna still rock to it. Living in my glass house, steady throwing rocks to it. Oh, I never stop feeling the love for you. I just stop being the one for you. I think. Too much overanalyzing everything sucks. I'm over dramatizing everything, but we're never on the level we're on unless we're cutting. Lusting, we never argued when thrusting, but after then it just turns to dust, brother. Swear I'd never love another if this really worked out. This is just like watching fitness infomercials from the couch. Ouch, I know you're lazy. It's easier to pick a partner less crazy. Much less work, less purpose, less of A to Z. But I'm an alpha, bet it's hard to stay with me. Heart palpitations do still occur though. Me and you some Merlot, situation blur so. Much I be thinking that this thing could actually work again. It's even nice to have you back in my world as my friend. Sometimes I gotta say it simply. Cause sometimes things are simple. We make it complicated for the win, B. Cause otherwise we just be stressed with all our N-words. In a child, in a space, in a monologue. We exchange intercourse without a dialogue. Introduce intimate ways to turn our fire off. So in us that seeks to spark light. Higher, moth, I still adore you. You adore me theoretically. So now I gotta shut the door on you. So I can find out who is next for me.
Repeat after me.
You and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. That's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. Sing along to that, please. Come on, it goes you and me and everyone we know. So we can just hear them. You and me and everyone we know. 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 It's you and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. You and me and everyone we know. Stop clapping, just whisper it. That's you and me.
Jean Grey with John Munson and the Witnesses. Support for Wits comes from Fiberglass Guthrie, the lightweight, durable alternative to Woody Guthrie. And from UPS, which thinks this spot right here in the middle of a busy road looks like a perfect place to park. Doot, 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 doot. We get additional funding from Sporks and the new athletic version of Sporks, Sports Sporks. They come in a smaller version too, Sports Sporks Shorts. Of course, a new version of that has been designed by Leonard Nimoy and Robin Williams as a tribute to their iconic TV characters, marketed to socially awkward people and endorsed by the Swedish Chef.
What's that called, John?
I'm glad you asked. Dork Sports Spork Shorts by Spock and Mork Bork 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 Bork.
All right, the Witnesses with I Saw the Sign. So with that, let the East Central High 20-year reunion begin!
Yay!
Well, if it isn't Michael Whalen.
Todd Jarrett, long time no see.
First chair and second chair oboe together again. Oh, you used to get so mad when you couldn't outplay me.
Yeah. Well, that made me driven to become the successful small business owner I am today.
Oh, funny. I run a business, too. It's bigger than a small business. What line are you in?
Well, I shouldn't say.
Oh, I see. Well, I shouldn't rub your face in what I do. It's pretty amazing, though.
Well, fine. Why don't we both just say what we do on the count of three and get it out there?
Okay.
One, two, three. I'm the leader of a doomsday cult.
What? Well.
Oh, this is awkward.
Huh.
Okay, that's interesting. So then you know, obviously, that the world will end on September 15th when the comet Ukai Maiden reaches peak visibility.
A comet? You really believe that? Ooh, this is like talking to a primitive ape man. Fascinating.
Well, it's in the pungent scrolls presented by the dirt monster, and it's corroborated by the flailing dance language of old Stavros the ogre, whom I met in a fever dream.
Oh, that's very cute. But you may want to be ready by August 4th, because that's when the world is actually going to end, based on my own automatic writing, beamed to my hands by a vengeful ghost who appears to me as a squirrel.
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, it makes more sense than your jumpsuit. Oh, my phone is ringing. It's 2009. They want their anachronistic doomsday jumpsuits back. I don't even have a phone. I burned it in a purification ceremony, but it was an iPhone 6S. How are you going to greet doomsday, Waylon? By whining, like when you lost first chair oboe?
No. Volcano dive, of course, so our souls can be free.
Gross. My minions and I are poisoning ourselves in a space rocket. Then we will all become asteroids.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Todd, Michael, I'm Kathleen, one of the organizers. Are you having fun?
Sort of. Settle a bet. Would you rather throw yourself in a volcano on September 15th or...
Die in a poison rocket on August 4th.
Ooh, I think I see something or someone by the punch that I need to talk to or drink. Bye!
Bye.
Bye. Huh.
Well, any followers?
4.
Well, I have 5. Plus 2 have signed a parchment of commitment. What about wives?
None.
Yeah, me neither.
Whoa, Jared and Waylon, what's up, bros?
Timothy James, hi. Wow, you remember us?
Well, of course I do. You guys helped me put my posters up when I won class president. Solid. And I stopped Wade Groth from beating you up when he had too much root beer schnapps at Amy's party. Yeah. Also solid, but from your perspective.
You always were the nice jock, Timothy. You probably married Stephanie, huh?
Yeah, she was my first wife.
Oh, divorced? That's too bad.
Oh, no, still married. I just have 43 others. It's not easy, but it's what Space Horse commands.
Wait a minute.
You have a doomsday cult? You're the leader of a doomsday cult?
You know, they call me the leader, but I'm just letting the 7 bird spirits speak through me. Oh, hey, Kathleen, you're even prettier than you were in high school.
Oh, Timothy, you charmer.
Okay, Kathleen, I know this is sudden, and we don't have much time. I would love to have you become my 44th wife, wear my lumpy cloak, and get smothered beside me in an enormous rug. It has to happen tonight.
Wait, are you talking about tonight?
Oh, yeah, the end of the world is tonight. Same night as the reunions, solid. Huh.
I will marry you, and I will become a space queen, and I shall scream forth all the new planets. Oh my gosh, I've never felt anything like this before. Timothy, you're so sweet.
Damn it, he's good.
So good.
Hey, there's the Destructor. What up, space horse?
A space horse? Oh, I was way off with that squirrel.
Jean Grey as Kathleen, John Hodgman as Jarrett, Kevin Murphy as Timothy, and me as Waylon. Coming up, Britney Spears is a cardiac surgeon, the existential crisis of Smurfs, and what made people of 1914 so upset. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedian and author John Hodgman and hip-hop artist Jean Grey. Online comments, that vast library of writing offered up by people no one was especially eager to hear from in the first place. But this tradition of complaints from anonymous grouches for no good reason predates the electronic irritation superhighway. As a study in the timelessness of people getting bothered, we now present classical complaints, actual letters to the editors of newspapers from 100 years ago.
Actual letters, John.
Actual letters as they appeared in 1914.
To the editors of the mailbag, I see poor old disturbed citizen is ranting again about the noise made by the milkmen. He admits he is nervous, suffers from insomnia, and probably has hobnails on his liver. It is plain to see that disturbed citizen is one of those individuals who would find something to kick about in Arcadia. If he lived in the country, far from the maddening rattle of milk bottles, he would be unable to sleep because of the singing of the whippoorwills or the noise of the wind as it whistled through the trees and the chirp of the crickets. The best way for a disturbed citizen to get a night's sleep is to purchase a nursing bottle and a rattle and then hire a nurse to rock him to sleep. On the other hand, it may be a good thing he vents his wrath on the overworked, underpaid milk wagon drivers. Otherwise, he might have to wear off his grouch complaining about the shade of blue in the sky. Signed, a Washington dairyman.
John Hodgman, ladies and gentlemen, as the meanest milkman 1914 had to offer. Here with more music, Jean Grey.
I'll play it cool, man, I won't do what everybody thinks I'm going to do. No more head movies making my eyes rain. Hey, I said it really don't matter to me, babe. Where you gonna be, baby? Don't show out for me, babe. Don't give a f- about your day, baby. You ain't gotta say, baby, where you gonna stay, babe? I really don't care to know. You can cut out, baby, I don't wanna riff, babe. Made it plain that I ain't with you, so you're making me lose my cool. Well, I'm finding it hard for me. Knew that I'd fall harder than you. Give back feelings, don't bother me. I can't be letting all my seen. I can't be letting all my be seen. Not gonna do what you think I'm do. No more head movies making. Just no more head at all. Now, how y'all doing tonight, Minneapolis? Well, all right. We're gonna do a little thing that we like to do in this sort of music. It's called call and response. So when I say stuff, I need to hear you guys sing it back. Is that all right? Let's test it out. I said, hey, lover boy.
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 I'm gonna need me another boy.
Hey, lover boy.
A little sketchy on that. We're gonna try it again. Jenny, how do you feel doing a couple of these? I wanna see how they respond to you. All right? And all the back is just in the back of it, and it tells you to change the point. You really can't blame me for thrusting all this whack in your pack and your back, and if for telling you to be employed. Yes, man, I was involved with all the proper protocol, with you dropping all the malls, shopping all the malls. Man, I bought the point of us to see the truth that you're false. The point of it being the conscious of seeing the halt of the dream is all too swift. It's like a swift named Taylor. I'm back to mean failure on a spliff. Well, I guess you just get added to the list. The X-Men, next men, talk it on the board. Walk it out, talk about it with the Lord. I'm annoyed, someone come and get your boy. I'll be drinking at the bar. Now, give me some drums. Oh,
Awesome.
Jean Grey with John Munson and the Witnesses. Jean Grey, welcome to Wits.
I'm so excited to be here. Yay!
You're so interesting to me, the different things you get up to. You've been active in hip-hop since, like, 1996, I think.
Yes, which is, like, 1914.
Which is a long time ago. But you've been branching out a lot lately. You've been doing this program on YouTube. Like, it's like a sitcom.
Yes.
Life with Jeannie. Tell us what that is.
It's called Life with Jeannie. It is a half-an-hour sitcom, which everyone was like, don't do half an hour. And I was like, but I want to, so I'm kind of going to do that, which is pretty much how I live my life. People are like, don't! And I'm like, that thing! Yes.
I said don't.
You actually did tell me that.
I know.
You're one of the people.
John Hodgman tried to stop you.
No one tells Jean Grey anything.
No.
Apparently not.
It did not work.
So what happens in Life with Jeannie?
Life with Jeannie, I write and direct and edit.
Because you were also the star of the program.
Yes. And it's basically generally my life, whether it's romance or music or basically horrible things that happen to me. People ask, where do you get all these stories from? And I'm like, you're laughing at my real life. So thanks.
It's a really funny situation comedy that she just made because she felt like it.
Yeah.
It's so annoying to me.
He tells me that often, how much I annoy him.
Because she just went ahead and did it?
Yeah, she just woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm going to make a sitcom. I'm going to make my own Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm not going to wait for a network to give me money. I'm going to spend my own money and get people to work for free.
So I'm
pointing at myself.
Like John Hodgman.
So is it galling?
It's really funny and it's really good and it's about her life in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Is it galling because she did all that and then it's really great?
Well, look, there's got to be something left over for the people in the world who are lazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't...
All right, now we need to talk about the name. The name, yes. Jean Grey, you spell it G-R-A-E, but it is derived from the X-Men character Jean Grey. Mm-hmm. Why did you pick that name to perform with?
I didn't want to be Storm, because just because she's black, I get it. She was pretty much the most powerful.
You may not know this, John, but Jean Grey sucked the power out of a star and killed a whole solar system.
Yeah.
And that's why she was sentenced to death by the Shi'ar Empire. But that was in her Dark Phoenix persona.
It was.
It's really a question of whether how much she was in control of that persona.
Okay.
Doesn't really count. Also, got to live in the same Marvel universe with the actual Jean Grey. About a month ago, that was very cool.
That was the
right reaction.
I don't actually acknowledge that Jean Grey is alive in the current Marvel Universe.
Which comic book are you in?
I was in Deadpool, and I punched Deadpool in the face.
Nice. Was the artist or the writer a fan?
Mike Hawthorne, who is a really, really amazing artist, and about 2 years ago, he drew a picture of me, which was kind of a depiction of a character I played in a song called Assassins with another rapper, Pharrell Monch, and he pretty much just went ahead and did the drawing. I was like, this is amazing. So we've been friends for a while, and I actually called to ask him if he would draw Deadpool and I making out, because in my mind, Deadpool is my boyfriend, and then that would make it real. So he did not do that.
Okay.
And he was like, well, I'm not going to do that because you're being weird. And I was like, oh, fair enough.
But you can punch him in the face.
But I could punch him in the face.
Jean Grey, everybody. Support for Wits comes from former Pope Benedict, still alive with time on his hands and available for freelance Pope work. Need a little poping done around the house? Pope up some drywall, Pope those weeds out back, Pope the carpets, call him. And from Kites, got a free afternoon? Want to disappoint children? Love getting frustrated? Want to waste some money? Kites! We get additional funding from John Hodgman Incorporated. At JHI, we're glad you're happy with the standard John Hodgman model, which can be counted on to be highly educated, clever, and self-effacingly pompous. But if standard Hodgman is too Yale-y, try the all-new dumb guy John Hodgman. instead of arch witty humor, he says things like,
I gave my money to a cow, but he broke it.
And?
Here's 100 people named Jeff. There's old Jeff, the other Jeff, and that's all the Jeffs I can think of.
And how about this line of patented dumb guy John Hodgman wit?
Oh yeah, my head got stuck in the vending machine again on account as I was bobbing for Fritos.
Dumb guy John Hodgman, also available in Diet Dumb Guy John Hodgman.
Home run!
Well, John, I have to say I'm always so glad to be around you because you are so knowledgeable. You know so many things.
I do, and I can tell how glad you are, and I'm glad you recognize how fortunate you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But the problem is that the knowledge always seems so abstract. Like, I mean, history. You know so much about history, but it's all in the past, and that's why everyone hates history.
Yeah, but what are you going to do about that, John? You don't have a time machine.
Well, guess what?
No.
We do. We have a time machine. It's artisanal. It's homemade. One of our listeners from right here in Minnesota, down there in Mankato, they built it. They brought it up.
Oh, that looks like all recovered pine.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. Tell you what, let's travel around, and you tell us what we need to know about the places that we go to, what we might not already know about these time periods.
Okay, I'll get into your time machine.
All right, let's climb on in here.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not built for comfort. It's built for time travel.
I don't think it's even built for two.
Oh, well.
I probably shouldn't be here then.
No, come on. Oh. We'll both sit on John Moe's lap.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, let's go traveling. All right, now here we are in the Jurassic
period. Ah, the Jurassic period.
John Hodgman, what do we need to know about this?
Well, there's a popular misconception that the Tyrannosaurus Rex lived during the Jurassic period because of a certain movie called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But in fact, it's not true. The T-Rex lived in the Cretaceous period. The only thing that dates back to the Jurassic period is the sound of the T-Rex. You hear it?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the sound of the T-Rex. The Jurassic period was the birthplace of sound effects.
Really?
Yes, they climbed out of the primordial ooze during the Jurassic period, and most of them died. They were devoured by laser shows.
Hmm.
Just sound itself? Did they take any physical, like, carbon-based form?
I know it's hard for you to visualize. Maybe you should have Neil deGrasse Tyson here.
Well, I mean, can we look for some of them here? I mean, we are in the Jurassic.
You can't look for sound effects, John.
Oh, okay.
But if you're very, very quiet, we might put some in post-production.
Okay, listen. Well, oh, there they are,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there you
there they
that?
Are.
Yep.
Oh.
Great. Well,
that's the famous Foley man falling downstairs.
Oh. Mm. Well, let's get it back in the machine, travel a little bit more. Oh.
Funny, there's a sound effect now.
Oh, yeah. I
think we might have a stowaway.
It came with us. Now, here's an era that I've feel like I know a lot about, but the American Revolution. Here we are.
Can I please get out? Can I please get out now? I really don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here.
Okay. Maybe just stay in the machine for a little while.
Well, here we are. Here we are in Philadelphia in May of 1776.
What an exciting time.
John Adams is proposing to the Continental Congress that we all declare independence, and there's Benjamin Franklin proposing that the national bird of the new country should be Thomas Jefferson. He thought Thomas Jefferson was a bird because Thomas Jefferson was so tall and had such a high, reedy voice that he thought he was a kind of ostrich.
Look, you could see Adams trying to pluck Jefferson right now.
Yes. You know, John Adams is from my home state of Massachusetts. Oh. Specifically, he had a farm in Braintree, Massachusetts, but he didn't actually raise a brain orchard.
No?
No.
What a missed opportunity.
No, he raised lungs and kidneys, mostly.
Yeah. He's a lungman.
Yeah, and that's all I know about the American Revolution.
Well, let's keep traveling, then.
Please.
Oh, now we're all the way to the 20th century.
Here we are at Woodstock.
Sha Na Na, others.
Oh, you know, you might wait until I mention Sha Na Na, since that's the only thing I know about Woodstock.
Well, I mean,
it's
sure.
Interesting because a lot of, you know, Woodstock is famous, of course, for performances by Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem and Joe Cocker doing some karaoke.
Yep.
But also, not a lot of people, except apparently you know, that the first, I believe the first act was the 50s tribute band Sha Na Na, which went on to have their own variety show on 70s television. But what a lot of people don't know is that Sha Na Na opened Woodstock, but it was closed by Captain Antoniel.
Really?
Yeah, Muskrat Love.
Muskrat Love shut it all down?
Shut it all down. And
what happened during that song that made them shut down all of Woodstock?
Brown acid.
Okay. Wow.
Brown acid caused a lot of people to love muskrats in a non-figurative way.
Not very good way. I think we'd better get out of here.
Okay.
Oh, and now we're back home at the Fitzgerald Theater in the present day. John Hodgman, thanks so much for a tour of history. More with John Hodgman and Jean Grey in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with hip-hop artist Jean Grey and comedian and author John Hodgman. Once again, classical complaints, letters to the editor from 100 years ago, read by Mr. John Hodgman.
Dear editor, what a grand thing that there are no women in Reading who are interested in women's suffrage. Women's place is wherever man happens to want her to be. There is no sense in making her darn socks when she can work in a store or on a farm and earn more money. For money is the principal thing. Being a bachelor, there are a lot of lovely girls who are anxious to do little things for me as darning socks for nothing, while lots of my married friends never have whole socks. I want to see them free to work and get the habit. When I find a girl that is a sort of combination of Vestal Virgin and North German Lloyd and who is beautiful and like Caesar's wife, above suspicion. I hate a suspicious woman. I expect I will let her marry me. But I will bet $4 she won't be a suffragist. Signed, John Ralston. Postscript. In regard to the coming prohibition campaign to be waged in our state, I wish to state that I cannot see why working men should be deprived of their beer. Beer does not make drunkards. It is whiskey that does that.
John Hodgman, everybody.
Yeah.
Pop song correspondences.
Yeah.
An exchange between attorneys for a class action lawsuit and Britney Spears.
Ms. Spears, we represent clients who responded to your ad. They were told that for $10,000, they'd get tickets to your concert, backstage passes, and you'd perform open heart surgery on them.
They assumed you were a licensed surgeon. Turns out you are not. Apparently you've done this before, and now, you know.
Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost in the
It's not a game, Miss Spears.
Oops, you think I'm in love, then I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent.
No, you're not innocent. You're actually very guilty. Now, granted, our clients obviously lack judgment. They chose a pop star for their atherectomies, angioplasties, and stent procedures.
Still, performing amateur surgery in a dressing room? What's your problem?
You see, my problem is this. I'm dreaming away, wishing that heroes, they truly exist. I cry watching the days. Can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways?
We can see you're a fool. That's why we're suing you.
But to lose.
Stop calling us babies. We're not babies. We're adult lawyers.
We are seeking punitive damages of $1 million per client, along with a signed photo. Now, admittedly, all the surgeries you performed were successful.
Pretty good.
Our clients have never felt better. Kudos. But they were also humiliated when they heard what you did during the procedures.
Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart.
Yeah, now there's the thing. It's not a game. A proper surgeon does not play with a heart, Ms. Spears. A proper surgeon doesn't dress up a human heart in Barbie clothes or perform ventriloquism using the aortic valve.
A proper surgeon doesn't label the heart Britney and the liver Justin Timberlake and then make them do a dance-off.
Disgusting. Now, look, Ms. Spears, you're a good surgeon. Damn good. But you gotta stop operating outside the law. We'll see you in court.
Oops, you think I'm in love, that I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent.
Sincerely, Aguilera
and Cyrus.
Yeah.
Attorneys at law.
Yeah.
John Hodgman and me as lawyers, Janie Winterbauer.
Yeah.
As Brittany.
Yeah.
We did it, Papa Smurf. We smurfed Gargamel again.
That's right, Smurfette. But Gargamel shall smurf large once more. Stay vigilant.
Need I remind you we almost died? Surely a tomorrow free from Gargamel's tyranny is possible.
If any Smurf could think of a way to live the life you describe, it would be you, Brainy.
Brainy. Our identities are defined for us so narrowly. We are given these names and are expected to chase the qualities they describe forever after.
Not all of us.
No, not all of us. Sweet, sad Smurfette. Your name, a mere suffix. Tell me, is your identity a suffix as well?
Maybe. Do you mean, is it my Smurf of self?
Yes, I suppose. But does your understanding of what you are extend past mere reflection of the rest of us, the feminine yin to our masculine yang?
Brainy, lighten up. We won the day. Have a Smurf berry.
The burden of thinking is mine alone. How can I lighten up?
Think of a way to do it.
Oh, touche, Papa Smurf.
Papa Smurf, why should Brainy relax and the rest of us remain vigilant?
But because Papa Smurf knows the rest of you are too pacified to rise up.
Rise up?
When Joseph Campbell wrote of the atonement with the Father, a confrontation with the ultimate power, do you think he was writing of a peaceful resolution? I do not.
Are you smurfing with me via the monomyth?
Brainy, you can't talk to Papa Smurf that way.
Fine, then I shall address the rest of you. Fellow Smurfs.
Are you content with the way of things? With all these incessant Gargamel attacks, Papa Smurf has made no attempt to alter the status quo.
Hey, that is true.
I'm not responsible for how Gargamel smurfs.
You, sir, claim to be a sorcerer? Is it that you refuse to protect us? Friends, I offer my leadership. Papa Smurf promised us salvation from terror, that it was a journey on which he would bring us all. After the attack we just suffered, I ask you, Papa Smurf, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Not yet, Brainy.
When, Papa Smurf? What are you hiding?
Mm. Smurfette, please, I'm not hiding anything, I promise.
Your promises are warm, Papa Smurf, but they are empty. Yeah, Hefty Smurf.
Uh-huh.
How much of your day is spent just lifting heavy things?
All of it. Unless I'm looking for heavy things to lift.
Aha! Can you think like me, or be handy, or bake bread, or even be clumsy like clumsy?
I can't process what you're asking.
Aha, precisely. Name is destiny. Papa, you presume wisdom where there is only age.
Papa is a fraud.
Smurfette, no, do not drink Brainy Smurfberry juice.
When you say my name, it sounds like a collar, like a leash.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to be called, my Bluebian sister?
Amanda.
Amanda. You are beautiful and complex, Amanda, and I respect you.
Smurfette, listen to reason.
Keep smurfing, Brainy.
I have wisdom. Let me lead you, and I will end the war by using intelligence. Only I can do this, for only I am Brainy Smurf.
Thank you.
Very nice speech. Only problem, I am wise. To you. I know you are behind Gargamel. You want power, so you build a puppet terror smurfer to smurf the seeds of terror. You created Gargamel, Brainy Smurf. You brought all this suffering.
What? No.
Is this true, Brainy?
Amanda, no.
Call me Smurfette.
Hefty, toss Brainy on his thick skull like we so often do in a fit of adorable anti-intellectualism.
But...
Yeah, toss him! Toss him!
No.
I'm sorry, Brainy. I can't help it.
Thanks. Thanks, Papa. Come on, Hefty. Let's go to eating place.
I think I have a concussion.
You'll be fine.
You know I'm not behind Gargamel.
Brainy, I have lived through the Snork Wars. I have touched the face of Azrael. I was around when Scooby-Doo had his moment of doubt and pain. I was there when the Flintstones were born and all outlived the Jetsons. I know everything, and I always will.
What are you?
You know who I am.
Please.
Say my name.
Please, no.
Say my name.
You're Papa Smurf! You're Papa Smurf!
You're damn right. Jean Grey as Smurfette, John Hodgman as Brainy, Kevin Murphy as Hefty, me as Papa. Here with more music, Jean Grey.
I got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend.
Yeah. Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date? But you didn't make love, she wanted you to wait. Let me tell you a story about my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on a tour of a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got off stage dripping, pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in the ear, come to the picture booth, so I can ask you questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said, blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said, I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. That's when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend, she said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Now, come on. I'm not even going for that. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story. How about a girl named blah, blah, blah that adored me? So we started talking and getting familiar. Spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship. Or some understanding how it's gonna be in the future we were planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time I called her, it seemed that something was brewing. Called her on my dime, picked up and called again. I said, yo, who was that? He's just a friend. Man, whatever! You sound crazy! You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say... One more time, louder!
You got what I need. You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend.
Hodgman, kick it!
So I came to her college on a surprise visit to see my girl that was so exquisite. It was a school day. I knew she was there the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was her dorm. The guy made me fill out a visitor's form.
What?
He told me where it was and I was on my way to see my baby doll, I was happy to say. I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? She showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event. So I came to her room, I opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? A fellow tongue-kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I say. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend.
Has a friend. Now let's go. Let's get it together one more time.
Oh, baby!
You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend.
What?
You say he's just a friend.
Oh, baby,
you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend.
That's crazy.
You say he's just
a
friend.
It's not true.
That's implausible.
You
got what I need.
With pain.
You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. You got what I need. You say he's just a friend.
Last one and mean it.
Oh, baby, you. You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend.
Jean Grey and John Hodgman with John Munson and the Witnesses. Want more wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter there, get the latest about what our various wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us, we're at wits. Thanks to our guests this week, John Hodgman and Jean Grey. Thanks also to broadcast engineer Corey Schreppel, as well as stage manager Alan Freckman, Andrea Ayers, Aaron Cassio, Mike Wangen, and Dan Zimmerman, as well as coordinating producer Hans Buto and our intern Sam Siegel. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. Our acting company included Kevin Murphy. Our letters to the editor were curated by Julia Suits. She's on Twitter at @tweetsofold. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Wits was created by Tony Boll, senior producer LaRosa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.